Sati uvacha. Prajapatiste sapsarasya sampratam. Yapita yagya mahotsavakila. Vayam chatatrabhisharama vamate. Sati uvacha. Sati said, Prajapatehe of Daksha, te your Shashurasya of your father-in-law, Sampratam nowadays, Niryapitaha has been started. Yagya Maha Utsava, a great sacrifice. Kila, certainly. Vayam, we. Cha, and. Tatra, there. Abhisarama, may go. Vama, oh my dear Lord Shiva. Te, your, yadi, if, artita, desire, ami, these, vibuddha, demigods, prajanti, are going, he, because. Sati said, my dear Lord Shiva, your father-in-law, she didn't say her father, she said, your father-in-law is now executing great sacrifices, and all the demigods, having been invited by him, are going there. If you desire, we may also go. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sati knew of the tension between her father and her husband. But still she expressed to her husband, Lord Shiva, that since such sacrifices were going on at her father's house, and so many demigods were going, she desired to go. But she could not express her willingness directly. And so she told her husband that if he desired to go, then she would also accompany him. In other words, she submitted her desire very politely to her husband. I'm going to read the next verse as well. It connects with this one. She then states what her reasons are for wanting to go. Translation, this is for text 9. I think that all my sisters must have gone to this great sacrificial ceremony with their husbands just to see their relatives. I also desire to decorate myself with the ornaments given to me by my father and go there with you to participate in that assembly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is a woman's nature to want to decorate herself with ornaments and nice dresses and accompany her husband to social functions, meet friends and relatives, and enjoy life in that way. This propensity is not unusual, for woman is the basic principle of material enjoyment. Therefore, in Sanskrit, the word for woman is stri, which means, quote, one who expands the field of material enjoyment, unquote. Hope our women aren't offended by the Sanskrit meaning of the word stri. But that's what it says. This is the arrangement of conditional life. A woman attracts a man. And in that way, the scope of material activities involving house, wealth, children, and friendship increases. And thus, instead of decreasing one's material demands, one becomes entangled in material enjoyment. Lord Shiva, however, is different. Therefore, his name is Shiva. He is not at all attracted by material enjoyment, although his wife, Sati, was the daughter of a very great leader and was given to him by the request of Brahma. Lord Shiva was reluctant. But Sati, as a woman, the daughter of a king, wanted enjoyment. She wanted to go to her father's house, just as her other sisters might have done, and meet them and enjoy social life. Here, she specifically indicated that she would decorate herself with the ornaments given by her father. She did not say that she would decorate herself with the ornaments given by her husband, because her husband was callous about all such matters. He did not know how to decorate his wife and take part in social life, because he was always in ecstasy with thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic system, a daughter is given a sufficient dowry at the time of her marriage, and therefore Sati was also given a dowry by her father, and ornaments were included. It is also the custom that the husband gives some ornaments. But here is particularly mentioned that her husband, being materially almost nothing, could not do so. Therefore, she wanted to decorate herself with the ornaments given by her father. It was fortunate for Sati that Lord Shiva did not take the ornaments from his wife and spend them for ganja, because those who imitate Lord Shiva in smoking ganja exploit everything from the household affairs. They take all of the wife's property and spend it on smoking, intoxication, and similar other activities. End of purport. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshuva Miritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam. We're getting here a picture of material life. And we're getting a picture of cultured life. And we're getting a picture of transcendental life. This nice little section. So we can say, even in Vedic times, what to speak of at present, there was a certain social dimension, social gratification dimension, involved in Vedic rituals. There's the religious dimension, and there's the social gratification dimension in Vedic rituals. That is, many persons, so and even specific, friends and relatives and persons would come together. And what would bring them all together was something Vedic. And so there was purification, some upliftment. But there's another dimension, the dimension of social interaction and gratification through that social interaction, but the center of it was something Vedic, something meant to uplift and be of spiritual value, or at least religious value. And that's the way of the rituals found within the Vedas. There's other things that attract people. The attainment of heavenly pleasure. But this, in this case, this is the demigods taking part in some yajna. But for worldly people, just like Krishna describes this, in he argues or reasons with Arjuna in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita about the merit of performance of yajnas. Because by the performance of yajna, one can become free from the bondage of the reactions of fruitive activity and eventually become situated in sacrifice unto Vishnu exclusively. Because even in the material forms of Vedic rituals, even in those, that, in other words, someone wants this material benefit, that material benefit, another material benefit, Vishnu is the bhokta of the yajna. And so there's submission unto Vishnu, and there's that principle of elevation. What to speak of in contrast today, when spirituality or the purpose behind the sacrifice is mostly lost and largely obscured by the social gratification dimension of attending religious functions. It's simply become like that. In one of my practical experiences with this is in the college arena, where there are the Hindu society or something like that, they don't want anything spiritual. They want only social functions. And if we come forward saying, you know, we'll offer a discourse on Bhagavad Gita, the reason they give to say no is you know, it's a polite way of saying, if we allow your group, then we're going to have to allow all the other groups, and we can't say no to all the other groups, so we're saying no to you. That's a universal no. Nothing spiritual. No discrimination intended, just nothing spiritual. And, but if you want to come and take part in our social functions, we'll be glad to invite you. Etc. So, this is Vedic times, and there's a yajna, the daksha. We're going to hear later in this canto how he, daksha, is proud of how many yajnas of this type, that type, the other type. He's got a whole inventory of how many yajnas he's done. He's the king of yajna performance. And as far as he's concerned, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing more than this. That's it. And he's very unhappy with Narada for Narada's taking the Hariyashvas and Savalashvas from that position of performance of Vedic yajnas and just taking them straight into his bhakta program, his brahmachari ashram, and a life of unencumbered devotion to Krishna. Prajapati is very expert, and Prajapati Daksha is very expert at that. So he's addressed Prajapate. First line is Daksha. Now, Sati, this is the cultural, one of the cultural points. She knows there's tension between her father and her husband. So she's very careful to not, she's not criticizing, why do you have some tension with my father? She's not doing that. But she's showing her, knowing even that there's this tension, she's showing her, say, her lack of discrimination. That although that's there, let me put something else in that's going to cause tension upon that tension. And that is, I want to go to the social function. But, so the cultural part is, she doesn't say, I want to go. She says, if you so desire, I'll go with you. Makes it easier for him to say no than to say, I want to go. Can I go? Or can we go? If you want to go, I'll be glad to go with you. So, Prabhupada is saying she submitted her desire very politely to her husband. And she further softens it by saying, this yajna is being held by your father-in-law. You have a relation with him, as do I, and your relation is because of our marriage, but it's your father-in-law, not my husband. My father is having a sacrifice. Can we go? It's like, it's pressure. So she doesn't do that. Your father-in-law is having a yajna, and if you so desire, I'll go with you. It's very polite. Unspoken so far is the fact that he invited everybody else except them. His own daughter, Prajapati Daksha, invited so many people deliberately to exclude Lord Shiva, the husband of his daughter, Sati. It was deliberate. Sati understands that. Still, she wants to go. It's like a formula for disaster, but still she wants to go. And here's why she wants to go. I think that all my sisters have gone. She doesn't know, but you know, she's just assuming. Her sisters, and her sisters with their husbands, and they're all going decorated very nicely. So I too would like to go decorate myself with the ornaments given to me by my father. Now it's not by your father-in-law, it's by my father. And she's getting more direct. So another cultural point. Upon marriage, Vedic system is the husband, the father, supplies the daughter with dowry. And that's like his asset now becomes the asset of the husband. But it's to allow in the beginning part of the marriage, because in many cases, at the beginning part of a marriage, it's one's just getting started, and so it's like priming the pump. It helps the well-being of the family become established, and from the very beginning, that the daughter has nice ornaments, nice clothing, nice. So she's happy. And the husband doesn't have to prematurely undergo the difficulty of supplying all those nice ornaments. and garments and so forth. So the wife has all those things. That's very nice. It's a very nice gesture. It's a very nice cultural program. Prabhupada also mentions the husband will also supply, but in the case of Lord Shiva, he had no taste for all of that. He didn't supply. He says even that he was materially almost nothing and therefore could not do so. But Lord Shiva, you know, he doesn't need to exhibit opulence. He has enormous opulence, which you could exhibit in a flash. But he has no interest in it. And specifically it said that he accepted the arrangement of marrying Sati because Lord Brahma, his father, suggested it. So he was complying with his father's request. In a higher sense, in a deeper sense, Sati is his female counterpart, or is his consort. So it's natural. Different than boys and girls getting married. This is his own potency. She is manifesting. She is his own potency manifest. His Shakti. Or the reflection of the potency of Mahavishnu. Anyway, his consort. In a constitutional sense. Because he's detached, because Lord Shiva is detached, he has a power of discrimination that says, let's not do this. But he also has kindness by his nature in his heart. And he doesn't say, no, let's not do this. We'll find out how he replies coming up. So he's exhibiting a transcendental dimension. Prabhupada is explaining that he's completely absorbed in thought of the personality of Godhead. And with that, his contentment is complete, and there's nothing that can attract him, like going to a social function held by a person who is inimical to me. And therefore, it's going to be a very unpleasant experience for everybody in the assembly, including you, Sati. He has the capacity to see that. And she's not a dull personality. Her attachment is, she shows later, her attachment is completely to her husband. Still, this principle that's being described here is as the principle, the manifestation of the principle of material enjoyment, or stri, one who expands the field of material enjoyment, she wishes to go into that which is a formula for disaster. And sure enough, disaster. There are a number of such situations that are spoken of in the Bhagavatam. The attraction of Diti to enjoy with her husband at a time that was inauspicious, or the after her sons were killed, her desire to get back at Vishnu. Anyway, so What's the position of the husband who has a transcendental state of realization and a wife that may be not as strong as he is in the mention of transcendental realization? How to conduct oneself in that circumstance? That's also embedded in this discussion and within the Bhagavatam. It's a social nuance. Rather than going into that now, because that's going to come up in the later section of this chapter, this is the circumstance of being in intimate contact with a member of the opposite sex. And it's something that, on behalf of the ladies present here, Prabhupada speaks in more than one place in the Bhagavatam that any of these things that are gender favored, they work the other way around also. That, you know, the intimate association with the opposite sex for a woman has some principle that needs to be, one should need to be alerted to. The male is the object of enjoyment for the female, and that increases the field of material activity, and so on. For then the other is, for those who are devotees, those who are very strong in their devotion, it doesn't work the same way. Certainly going high in the level of spiritual attainment, the description is there when the Kumaras are in the vicinity of the Vaikuntha realm. He sees Vaikuntha Vimanas loaded with transcendental celestial beings of male and female of such beauty, it's incomparable. But there's no material desire. There's no lusty attraction between them. Although their beauty is better than anything you find on billboards and posters and, you know, all the commercial things that get people to buy soap and any product at all, just put a half-clad lady. Now it's, you know, it's the latest is in India, just a half-clad man. It's, you know, it does the same thing, I guess. Anyway. To sell steel or to sell, you know, socks or, you know, something. Toothpaste, the latest gadget. Anyway, enjoy. That principle of enjoyment subsides. As with Lord Shiva, there's no material agitation, although he's with most beautiful and most devoted sati, that he's not agitated. So it's the rescue, the position of safety is the position where one is completely attached to the personality of Godhead and serves him appropriately. So as the verses go on, the unfolding of this drama will manifest, and we'll see like additional factors appearing, how Lord Shiva responds, how Sati responds to how he responds. His all-knowing of what the outcome is and still says okay. I mean, he doesn't exactly say okay, but it's like the tacit acknowledgement is there to go ahead. With warning. Lord Shiva was reluctant, but Sati, as a woman, the daughter of a king, wanted enjoyment. So, however elevated one may be, however elevated one's association may be, if that desire for enjoyment enters. Dun, 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 dun. You can have a problem. And when you can't have a problem, generally you do. So one should very carefully guard against taking up even something that's Vedic and bona fide in a mood of enjoyment. Because then the other side is suffering. And very humorously, Prabhupada points out, fortunate for Sati, Lord Shiva didn't take all her ornaments and spend them for ganja. Because this is a propensity that we find. People that have some addiction or some bad habit even. And I know circumstances where that happens. You know, the husband has a bad habit and he takes the for the property of the wife and sells it. So he can supply his habit. It happens. It can work the other way around too, the husband and the wife. So that wasn't Lord Shiva's program. She still had her ornaments, and she wants to apply her ornaments given by her father and attend her father's sacrificial ceremony and associate with her sisters and their husbands in that happy atmosphere. To be continued. The plot thickens. Any discussion? Questions? Trina? Yes. What to speak of ourselves, that's the next thing, right? And then the next thing is what to do. Well, have a nice education before entering into those circumstances, and be prepared that it's going to happen. Don't be surprised when it happens. And then, as it's happening, you can be fortified or protected by knowledge. And from meaning or taking shelter in the side of knowledge, one doesn't have to go down the path of making a mistake. But even if one goes down the path of leading on the side of leniency, and with that there's a problem, then at least you know you're prepared. You can accept the consequence of a decision that's made with some compromise. You know, some grain of enjoyment in the mix. It's going to lead to a problem. I am aware of that and prepared for that. So that I can learn or my spouse can learn the consequences of enjoyment. Because I can explain it so many times, and if it's not understood, then I have to learn the hard way. And you're prepared for it. Because otherwise, in ignorance, one is blindsided. Blindsided meaning like you're entering, crossing a traffic, then someone comes and it's very shocking. But if you're going forward in life and you're prepared with proper knowledge, you'll make fewer mistakes, and it will check tendencies more than ignorance will check tendencies. But if it's a circumstance that just apparently needs to learn the hard way, you have that spiritual understanding, scriptural understanding, with the hope on the other side that now you learn the hard way. And not just, I told you so, but let's learn from this so we don't do it again. Try to minimize the damage. Because some people have to learn the hard way. That's been my experience. It's simply due to ignorance, the influence of the mode of ignorance. Even they know better and they still do something that's going to cause some suffering. You forgot it. Well, become qualified like Ramanujacharya. That's the best. And if that's not possible, then in many cases that I've experienced, with proper association, then a spouse will follow. With proper care and proper attention, they'll follow. And so the problem has to do with how one or the other of the marriage relationship is not being properly attentive to the details that are needed in that relationship. And when they're attended to properly, that situation changes. But there are circumstances, and you try and try and try and try, and then according to one's capacity and with all the king's horses and all the king's men. But some situations are unsalvageable. In those circumstances, aside from Ramanujacharya, Prabhupada indicates in scripture that that situation is to be given up. But, not whimsically, immaturely, capriciously, just given up. So you use the word balance, and it's more a matter of, you act, become Krishna conscious and act Krishna consciously, and at a certain point, if it's just like Prabhupada, it's tea or me. It wasn't early on in their marriage. Is at a mature stage. She was, can you imagine? It's hard to imagine. Being in the association of someone so elevated and saying no to the person. I'll take tea instead of you. But, how entrenched in stubbornness and whatever else she was to not be elevated by Prabhupada's association. And by choosing rightly, so much service, expanded service, Prabhupada was able to do. So I would say, you know, for us, in a common way, we should have someone that's guiding us and very carefully follow the guidance of those who are guiding us and try to elevate the situation. And that's the priority. And that by guidance, when it becomes clear, it's just like impossible. But, you know, a lot has to do with the person that's more elevated also has their issues, and they're not able to elevate the other person because of their issues, not because of the other person. And they can overcome their own issues, they can help elevate the other person. Commonly, I've seen that to be the case. Yes? Yeah. Big offense. Big offense. Okay. Anything else? Over on this side? Harari? Well, when you use their own spiritual, it's not a spiritual path to be attached to sense gratification or enjoyment to the degree that one cannot hear good advice from one that one knows is a well-wisher. But that's not spiritual path. It's misuse of the term. It's, you know, it's their foolishness. It's not their spiritual path. I'm just zeroing in on that phrase. That's not the essence of your question. So that's to learn the hard way. But that's not, spiritual path is not learn the hard, spiritual path, that's ignorance. Not spiritual path. Attachment, it's not only ignorance, but attachment to ignorance. So some persons can be influenced by ignorance, but overcome it by good association, and that's spiritual path. And the other is learn the hard way is not spiritual path, because in many cases those persons don't learn the hard way, they just keep repeating same ignorance again and again. Okay, but the journey of the soul is also bhutva bhutva praliyate. It's also life after life after life. And that's not a spiritual path. That's a path of ignorance. That's a spirit soul on a journey of life after life of ignorance. When opportunities are presented, because, you know, some cultures there's less, but let's just say from what we're commonly exposed to, there's lots of opportunity. Or there's opportunity. And it's not exactly someone's spiritual path that they bump into bhakti and kind of go, hey, that's nice, and then go, yuck, and go the other way. That's not spiritual path. That's ignorance. That's just nomenclature, maybe. But The way that you're using the term, the net is overly broad. It's like this. The position that I'm speaking from is when Kardama Muni speaks to Devahuti about the appearance of intelligence as the unfolding of the material elements. Because you not so long ago finished that at the end of the third canto of Bhagavatam. So one of the features of intelligence is apprehension, is understand, comprehending things, but it's also doubt. And Prabhupada explains, doubt before one comes in contact with proper knowledge, that's good, that's a sign of intelligence. But when doubting continues, even when one is in contact with proper knowledge, that's not intelligence. So in the same way, spiritual path, where one is journeying and journeying and in ignorance, looking for light, and they come in contact with light, and they turn away from light and stay in ignorance, that's not a spiritual path. It's not intelligence. It's not, there's nothing spiritual about it, other than beneath it all, there is spirit soul. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.